Hi, today is June 10th, 2017, and this is Mobile Music Podcast number 208, and I can still hear myself. Okay, so I'm still wrestling with the new version of Audio Hijack. I haven't had the time to contact them and try to figure out why I can hear myself when I speak, which I don't like. Anyway, last time I said it was Mobile Music Podcast number 208, that was alternative fact. It was really 207.
Ooh.
Today's podcast is 208. So I missed a nice prime number, I think, last time, but that's all right. Okay, so really there's only one major topic I want to bring up for this podcast, and that is Apple's Worldwide Developer Conference, which began this past Monday. I thought it was a little bit more interesting than usual. John's not of the same opinion.
Well, there are some very nice things. As I said before we start recording, it's a very evolutionary WWDC. Everything is getting slightly better, slightly cooler things. There are some things that I definitely am looking forward to in September when everything drops, but there's nothing that's yet, although I've seen some demo videos, there's nothing yet that's making me think I should use my developer account and download the betas and play around with them today.
And I have to say I feel the same way, because honestly, I have never downloaded an Apple beta of any kind. I don't know why. Maybe because I don't have enough Apple devices to run betas on. But whereas Windows stuff, I've run a lot of betas.
It's generally when we get to mid-August that I start to seriously consider it and ultimately usually end up – I usually end up on what is either right before the gold release or the gold release. So – but each year I keep thinking, you know, I could go earlier. I've got some older hardware over here. I could play with it, and then I just haven't been. But – so I guess if you had to rank the things that – what are you excited about from WWDC? What do you like?
Well, we'll get to it eventually. I've got a – the thing I'm most interested in is iOS 11 for the iPad specifically. Mm-hmm. Not so much iOS 11 for the iPhone, which I guess might be interesting, but not so much for me. But let's run it down. Let's run it down.
Okay.
So let's start with something you probably have more of an opinion on than I do, and that's Watch OS 4. I don't have an Apple Watch, so no real opinion.
Watch OS evolves at slightly the same pace as humanity. And that, I mean, it just not very fast. And one of the things I've wanted from day one is an API for watch faces.
Okay.
And we still don't have that. Now,
is that right?
Yeah, there's no API. Third parties cannot develop watch faces.
Wow.
So I'd love to see a third-party watch face, because I think that would really open up Apple Watch. But I know from a marketing and branding perspective, they only want Apple Watches to look like Apple Watches. Yeah. I sort of understand that. We have somewhat close in that you can set a live photo to be your background on your watch face.
Yeah,
so that, I've seen some really cool things with that. I've seen live photos that have – like I saw a vintage Mac one where an Apple II shows up and then the screen comes on when you raise your wrist. So that kind of looks cool, and that's kind of nice. But I want the ability to create, or for developers to create, their own watch faces.
Right.
And so you want, yet again, we don't have.
You want people to be able to develop like custom complications, I think they're called, the little widgets on a watch face.
Well, you can do custom complications.
Oh, you can.
You can't do a custom watch face.
Wow, what's the difference between a custom complication and a custom watch
face? Custom watch face, I could put the time anywhere I wanted on there. I could put any number of complication slots. I could do a background. So think about the sort of custom watch faces that you have for your Android Wear watch that you've used in the past. If you go to the Apple Watch Face Gallery, that's all there is. You don't find any third-party apps that say, you know, this is the watch face that looks like the L-Cars interface from Star Trek or something like that.
Okay.
And that was something that I had gotten very attached to with Pebble. When I was on Pebble watches, you could have, you know, watch faces completely, a whole bunch of different watch faces.
Yeah, same for Android Wear, despite the fact that Android Wear has essentially failed.
Yeah.
But at least we got that.
I do think that watchOS 4 has some nice things coming to it. Every watchOS update does make things run faster. In fact, I was playing with some apps today on watchOS 3 that I realized I hadn't used since watchOS 2 and was really surprised at how fast and responsive they were. So I think the platform's growing. I know that adoption is growing because for some reason in the last month and a half, I've seen Apple Watches everywhere. There's really not a day that goes by anymore, and I live in a pretty secluded spot in Mississippi, but there's really not a day that goes by anymore that I don't see an Apple Watch in the wild.
I have either. Sorry, John.
Yeah, but, you know, surprising places. The wrists of servers and restaurants, the, you know, parents of students at orientation. There's Apple Watches out there.
Yeah, I have to say, I see a lot more Apple Watches on people I don't know, essentially, than I used to. It used to be, you know, like I have a lot of tech geek type friends, and I'm not too surprised to see an Apple Watch on them like I see one on yours right now. Yeah, I see a lot more people just wandering around and go, oh, that person's wearing an Apple Watch.
Okay. Yeah, so I think watchOS 4, I'm not blown away by anything. I'm happy with it. It's evolutionary.
Okay, next up, the iMac Pro. Not a MacBook Pro, iMac Pro, which is kind of in between an iMac and a Mac Pro. And the price reflects it. Your thoughts? You're going to buy one?
Couldn't care less.
Okay, next.
I have my MacBook Pro attached to my 27-inch Cinema display. I don't see wanting to have a computer that I can't pick up and take with me. The MacBook Pro still travels with me, so not going to. Now, if the next item doesn't happen in the next, I say, you know, another 3 years, then maybe I'll consider an iMac Pro.
Okay. And so the next item is something that was not announced, and that was a refresh for our beloved Mac Mini. It has been 969 days since it was last refreshed. In other words, sometime in the next, month? Sometime in July, it will be 1,000 days since it was refreshed.
Apple, you hurt my heart. I want a new Mac Mini server.
Or Mac Mini Pro.
Yeah, whatever. I want a new Mac Mini.
Yeah.
I have a very specific use case for it. I know what I want. I don't want a screen with it. I don't want a laptop. I don't want a Mac Pro.
Yep.
I want a Mac Mini. Please live up to what you say when you say you still value the Mac Mini release one.
They lie a lot. Apple lies a lot. Okay, now, next up on the list, now that we've had our moment of bereavement, iOS 11, and for me, maybe I didn't interpret the keynote correctly. For me, iOS 11 was all about the iPad. Is that how you saw it, or was it you have a different take on it?
It really was. There are two things I want to highlight with the iPhone.
Sure.
The first is the revamped control center.
Okay.
Because I do use Control Center quite a bit. I like the idea of having everything on one page instead of having three pages to switch through.
Right.
The screen recording is something I like too, because I think that'll be useful, especially when people are going, how do I do this? I can shoot off a quick recording to them and say, this is how you do it. This is the menu you go to, et cetera, et cetera. And Apple Pay user to user.
Oh, yeah.
While it's not something that I would have used, say, 5 years ago as much, because ironically, everywhere I go to lunch with groups of people, everywhere I go, they're used to splitting the check among, you know, and doing individual checks. So I haven't run across a situation in a long time where it's been, oh, you cover lunch and I'll pay you back or something like that.
Right.
But I do like that Apple Pay is going to use your user because I think it'll up the adoption of Apple Pay, and hopefully with that, we'll see it at more vendors.
Now, I'm really curious how that's going to work, because let me give you for example of what happened to me recently with a mutual friend of ours. So a mutual friend of yours and mine was nice enough to let me and my daughter go to the Google company store and pick up some T-shirts and things like that. And I couldn't pay for it with my credit card. He had to use his, and I needed to repay him. Had I been smart, I would have thought I had enough cash in my wallet to actually give him the cash, but I didn't do that. So what I did is once I got back home, I tried to pay him back through Google Wallet. Now, it turns out two things. My primary Google account, it turns out, is a business account, which I did not know. I don't even know what that means. But it turns out you can't do person-to-person payment using a Google Business account. Don't ask why. They just said a warning, said you got this kind of account, you can't do it. Okay, so I have a secondary Google account, the one associated with my Google Fi, since I didn't want to lose Google Voice on my primary account. So I go to my secondary account, and it turns out the only way to do a person-to-person payment is to associate Google Wallet with a debit card, not a credit card, not a, you know, whatever, but, and I don't have a debit card of any kind. So that didn't work. I ended up paying back through through PayPal, I think.
Yeah, there's also Venmo that probably would have worked for you.
Yeah. So,
but this would be something that I don't know if you can do Apple Pay person to person. I think you might have to. I don't know if you can do it physically from a distance or if it has to be the same, you know, one device to another. That's something I haven't looked at.
NFC kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like tap.
Oh, and that is the other thing that Apple quietly, I don't even know if it made the keynote, but they did say that the iPhone will be able to read NFC, which is something that they have been guarding like crazy. So that means that your iPhone could potentially be able to read NFC and, you know, you could use it to open doors and things like that. Right. So that would be kind of cool. That would
be kind of neat, yeah. Okay, next up on the iOS 11 thing. Not unique to the iPad, but I did find it interesting and somewhat disturbing, is they're going to start using a new photo file format instead of JPEG. And I thought it was proprietary, but then I saw Nokia had some kind of technical note about the file type. So it might, and I can't even remember what it's called, HIEFF or something. But anyway, they're going to apparently start using a new photo file format, which is better compression, presumably, and that sort of thing. I'm a little worried because JPEG's a standard. We'll have to wait and see, I guess. Now, as I mentioned earlier to you, and John kind of agreed, the neatest thing about iOS 11, I think, is how it enhances the iPad, or at least the recent generation iPads that can use it. There's a new apps dock, which can have more than, I don't know, what is this current one? Five is the max?
Yep, five.
The new apps dock looks like the dock on Mac OS. I mean, it can go, I don't know, 10, dozen, lots. Lots of apps in the dock. Right? I mean, in fact, it looks like the dock on the Mac OS to me.
10 dozen. 120, that's what Todd would like. Just throw everything in the dock.
I thought it really made it look more like a Mac. You know, it's sort of getting close to Mac OS. There's a new Files app. I don't know if it sees local file store, but apparently it'll do things like look at Google Drive and Dropbox and other third-party cloud file storage services, so you can work with your files through a single interface, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Yeah, I don't think it does local file store, which is what a lot of our power user friends have wanted for.
Which you can do in Android.
Yes.
Yeah. And the final item, and it's certainly not the final feature, but the final feature that I found interesting was drag and drop, where you can have multiple items dragged and dropped somewhere, which I thought was kind of neat and gives it a very, well, you know, like Windows could do with Windows 95. I think.
Drag and drop, not drag and drop. That's a completely different thing with dragons and fire and, you know, flying things. Drag and drop would be actually really cool. And I really hope that's an iOS 12. You know, it strikes me that we completely skipped over macOS High Sierra as well.
You know, I saw it in a list and I said, do I care? No. You want to say something about it?
I don't really care that much. nothing revolutionary there either.
And they say that. That's why it's named High Sierra, right? They just follow on to Sierra.
More conversationally proficient Siri across all the products.
Yeah.
That's something that I think is interesting. I think we'll get to this in a moment. I think Apple has decided to maybe do something with Siri, but we'll see how it works out. Why don't you move to our next item?
Okay, and bring up, you know, I don't have Siri in our list of items, so I'm happy to talk about it.
The next she'll show up in coming up, yeah.
So the product I was most interested in, surprisingly, because I rarely upgrade a product 1 year after I buy something, is the new iPad Pro 10.5-inch model. And I say it's unusual because last year I bought the iPad Pro 9.7-inch model, which I'm very happy with.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I'm so happy with it, but unhappy with the fact that I was too cheap to buy more than 32 gigs of RAM, that I now need to buy something with more RAM, or more, I shouldn't say more RAM, sorry, more solid-state storage, more than 32 gigs. So I've been waiting for a new iPad of some kind that supports Apple Pencil, and this is it. It comes with 64 gigs minimum, or base, mm-hmm. I guess I should say. And the next step up is 256 gigabytes of storage, which is kind of interesting. And I think I'll save my nickels and dimes for that model. But what did you think? I'm like I said, I'm only excited about it because I need one. I don't know if anybody else would be excited about it.
And I've been moving sort of away from – I used to be a very big iPad user. I still do, as you said before we start recording, I do have more iPads than the average bear. I have an iPad mini that's my primary reading device. I have an iPad Air 2 that I use at least weekly, and then I have an iPad Pro 12-inch that I use not very often anymore because I kind of switched over to the Surface Pro 4 for all that sort of thing. But I like the idea of the iPad Pro kind of evolving. I don't know when I will next buy another iPad because I really like my iPad Air 2 and my iPad Pro 13 or 12-inch. But if I had no iPad Pro 2, if that died and I sold off the 12-inch, I would definitely get the 10.5-inch iPad Pro.
All right. And the 10.5-inch iPad Pro is, I think, roughly or exactly the same physical size as 9.7. They just reduced the bezel.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And were able to increase the screen. So, of course, your cases and things probably won't fit. Don't know if the smart connector is in the same place. So I don't know if you can use the same keyboard, a smart keyboard. But I'm planning to buy one because I'm not exactly running out of space yet because I've done things like not store movies and songs and other large storage file formats on my iPad Pro. But I have been doodling a lot with it. With Apple Pencil, my Doodle a Day project. I've done, I think, 160 doodles now in 160 days.
Yeah, they're getting better.
Thank you. So I'm excited about the iPad Pro. Hopefully I'll save my nickels and dimes and pick one up soon. I think it's already available. It's just a matter of me thinking about paying my daughter's next tuition and for grad school. Thinking, maybe I should buy something right
now. You know, knowing what she's thinking of going into, she's going to have to find you a very nice retirement home in the future.
Okay. And the next thing we're going to talk about Siri a bit is the HomePod. Maybe my pronunciation is a little weird, so let me spell that. H-O-M-E, capital P-O-D, HomePod. And my comment is this the next iPod Hi-Fi, John?
So this is Apple trying to kill some things, trying to kill Sonos, actually, in a sense, when you think about it, because the AirPlay 2 protocol now will let you do multiple room audio.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool. Too bad I now have a full Sonos setup in my house. But even if I did not, this is just – it's too expensive at this point.
What is that, $349,
something like that. That's still – for basically the same amount, you could get an Echo Dot and connect it to a very nice speaker
mm-hmm.
and get the same thing. Now, yes, Apple does – have a couple of advantages. They do talk about how, you know, the HomePod respects your privacy more than the other speakers mm-hmm. out there and that it mm-hmm. doesn't listen all the time. It only listens when it hears Hey Siri.
Mm-hmm. But the question is, how does it hear Hey Siri if it's not listening all the time?
Yeah, that is very interesting when you ask that question. But still, presumably it's not listening and recording and sending that anywhere for analysis. It's only listening for its trigger words. But I like that Apple's finally going in this direction. I don't find the aesthetic all that appealing because I've never really found the Mac Pro trash can look all that appealing.
Yeah.
But I think it'll be interesting to see, and I think it's a good jump into where they want to be if they want to start having your home connected just as much as your individual devices.
Right.
Because with the Apple TV – you've got to start to that for video, and now this will be the audio component.
Right. Now, comparing just the price, and I know people get all mad if I do that, but I don't care. At $349, let's call it $350, It is more than twice the price of an Amazon Echo, which I think is about $150 right now.
Mm-hmm.
And not quite twice the price of the Google Home, which I think is $200. So it's 1¾ Google Homes. But basically, you could buy a Google Home and spend $175 on a... Sorry, $150 on a speaker, I guess, a Bluetooth speaker to connect to it, and it'd be nice. You could buy 7 Echo Dots.
Yeah, it's a hard sell right now price-wise. If you live completely in the Apple ecosystem...
Then you want it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But even... I live probably 75% in the Echo ecosystem. That's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. The Apple ecosystem. I'm pretty far in there, and I don't even think it's worth it. Now, what I would love to see is a combination HomePod Apple TV. Now, that would be pretty cool. Mm. You know, it could even be two separate pieces. You'd buy it as a bundle. You'd hook up the Apple TV, you know, video interface. And imagine this even better. AirPlay 3 supports video. So if you could have sort of a central HomePod that would then have receivers and transmitters in all of your different rooms, that would be kind of cool. Yeah. But maybe that's far down the road. Maybe that's not something we'll ever see. But if this evolves into that, I could see it being a much more seamless experience than Alexa or
Cortana.
Google Home.
And I guess Microsoft hasn't announced a Echo-like device yet, although they have partners who apparently do.
I swear, if it doesn't have a hologram Cortana, I'm not into it.
There you go.
I mean, if it's going to be a physical device, Cortana should pop up in hologram form.
Now, two things I should mention about the HomePod. One, I keep harping on its high price, and Apple's explanation is has like a some kind of big subwoofer or something and other fancy kinds of audio speaker things that are not in the Echo or Google Home. So I think you alluded to you have a Sonos, so it's really more of a Sonos, like you said earlier, more of a Sonos competitor sound-wise.
Yeah.
To justify its high price. And the other thing is, the last time I made fun of something Apple introduced with a high price, that was the original iPod. I think I said something like, who would spend $500 or whatever it costs for an MP3 player? And I guess I was wrong.
Did you ever make fun of the iPad? I don't think you were one of those.
No. Yeah. I was an iPad cheerleader from the day it was announced. The day it was announced, when Steve Jobs went on stage and introduced it at, it wasn't WWDC, it was an Apple product announcement. I said I need one of those because did I even have an iPhone yet? I may not have had an iPhone. I think I may have had an iPod Touch at that point. But any rate, I remember when I after getting my iPod Touch and playing some games, boy, I wish this thing had a bigger screen.
And probably also at the same time said, boy, I wish my Windows mobile device was this good.
Actually, you know, at that point, I knew Windows mobile was dead.
It was a very sad time for us in 2010. But yes.
But on the other hand, I said the iPod Hi-Fi was a dumb idea, and that was a dumb idea. That was another expensive Apple product. So I'm one in one in calling these things. But never underestimate the Apple ecosystem customer base. They are loyal, and they are willing to spend money.
Yeah. And I do join in most often, but the thing that would get me next would be a really, really cool upgrade to the iPhone or a new Apple Watch. That's what I'm kind of waiting for. And, of course, a Mac
Mini. September, right?
Yeah. If a Mac Mini comes out tomorrow, I will have it by next podcast.
You know, I'm bowing my head and sighing just thinking about the Mac Mini. Because I, too, would like a new Mac Mini. I actually have an old, and I mean by old, I mean 2008 iMac, amateur, I guess now.
Yeah.
And it's still running. I upgraded it to, I think, 4 gigs of RAM from 2. So it runs a little bit better than used to. But that was the last Mac desktop I bought, 2008. It's been 9 years. Maybe 10th anniversary, my 10th anniversary. Apple introduced a Mac Mini. Actually, it's not, because I had an iMac Mini before I bought an iMac. But anyway, yeah, I bought the G4-based Mac Mini when it first came out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I believe you have some Apple grumpiness you would like to attend to?
One grumpy item is inconsistent, and that's sometimes if I create a calendar event in the iOS calendar, it does not sync up with Google Calendar. However, sometimes it does, and I can't figure out why. However, if I create an event in Google Calendar, it always syncs back to down to the iOS calendar. So I don't know what it is, if it's assigning it to the wrong calendar sometimes or what. But it is really inconsistent. It's really annoying me. And the second thing is something I noticed a while back, but it's become more of a problem as time goes on, and you'll understand why when I say it, is my Lightning cables, the ones from Apple, they are fraying like mad.
They're just junk. Apple Lightning cables are horrible things.
But you know, the funny thing is this never happened with a 30-pin cable.
I actually did have it happen with a couple of the 30-pins.
Yeah.
But I've used the Lightning. Well, I only had an iPhone that had a 30-pin connection that was my daily driver for about 4 weeks. And then the iPhone 5 came out, and I jumped to that. So I didn't use 30-pin connectors that much, although I did have a couple of older iPods and an iPod Touch that used the 30-pin.
Yeah.
They didn't seem as fragile, but I have never had an Apple-brand Lightning connector last more than a year.
Yeah, it's really irritating.
The Amazon brand ones, I've never had those last more than a year.
Hmm.
But the only ones I've had last more than a year are the Anker brand.
I was just going to say, I think I bought a couple of those Anker, those braided ones, those industrial strength ones, whatever it's around it.
And ironically, I bought a car charger. So this is a random thing for me. I had $10 in Best Buy rewards cash. That I think I forget how I even got it. I think I bought a refrigerator. That's why. So I had $10 in my geek account or whatever they had, and I needed to spend it. And I looked and I found a car charger, which I never really need because I have USB input in my car. But whatever.
Okay.
So I bought a car charger and I have it in my car, and it's for when other people are traveling with me and they need to charge their iPhone.
Sure.
And I noticed that it is fraying and pulling out. Apparently, whatever Anker does, they know how to make an iPhone cable that doesn't self-destruct, but no one else really does.
Yeah, and you know, before I go back to the subject that I brought up, there was an article in some magazine, online, about the history of Anker, how it was started by a pair of guys, I think from Google, who left Google and wanted to create an accessory solution for themselves, basically, that, you know, good, reasonably priced accessories, which I think describes Anker to the hilt. And I'll try to go find it and then put it in the show notes. But yeah, my theory, by the way, is, and I've been using 30-pin connectors since the first generation iPod Nano. So that's about, 2004? Something like that?
Yes.
I don't think I've ever had a frayed 30-pin connector in, 13 years? I mean, not that I use it much anymore, but you know, for the nearly 10 years I used it. And I think the reason is because they're not bidirectional. You know, the 30-pin connectors only goes into device in one way.
True.
Whereas you can reverse it, you can do either way with a Lightning connector. And I think because you can, you probably, you don't pay any attention to it. And I'm probably twisting it and causing the cladding or whatever, you know, the outer, whatever it's called. I think the cladding's inside. The outside rubbery case to start fraying, and then the wires inside to start fraying. But that's my theory.
My theory is that if you've ever noticed, Lightning connectors, when you touch them, they're warm. They do get a little bit warmer than the 30 pins did.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they actually melt glue around the edges.
Yeah.
And also warp the plastic, and over time it just cracks and frays.
Yeah, that's not out of the question. I mean, I wouldn't discount that theory. My recollection is Lightning cables have a little microprocessor in them, which I think it uses to deal with, well, a whole bunch of things, including basically protecting Apple's IP so you can't just create a cheap lightning cable without licensing it from them. But yeah, that would make sense. It does
have a processor. The one in my car, it was just a glue issue. The glue that was holding it into the connector, in the wire sheath into the connector, that just died, and so now the wire is coming loose. And when you see that split, it usually looks like, and I've even had discoloration where it almost looks like it burned the cord a little bit. So I think it's an overheating issue for Apple.
So unlike most times when I recommend people buy Apple stuff despite its relatively higher price, this time, if you got a lightning cable, I'd go look at Anker or something. And I don't have any stock. I don't even know they're public. I don't have any investment in Anker. I'm just a basically a happy customer.
I tell you, Anker also makes really nice long cables as well. So I have a 10-foot Anker lightning cable that I only use when I travel because I never quite know where the outlet's going to be near my bed. So I have that, and it basically helps me pretty much anywhere I've ever been. That plus the little Belkin. I think you have the same Belkin little power port. Or you have something similar. Mine's got the 2-amp USB ports on it.
So it's got a regular AC socket plus a USB ports, right?
Yeah. Three regular ACs and the two USBs.
Yeah, and I've been carrying a couple of Anker USB multi-port chargers, you know, those 6-10 port chargers. The only one I would have not a complaint, but just a comment about, because had I read everything correctly, I would have known it wouldn't work, is I bought an Anker, I can't remember the name. I mentioned it in the podcast before, but since we're talking about it, which has four USB-A ports for charging and one USB-C. And I think the USB-C is like 2.1 or 2 amp output, which is fine, right? I think 2.1. 2.1 is like an iPad. And so I thought, oh, this will be fine for my Samsung Chromebook Plus, which somewhere it said 2. And I said, oh, yeah, 20 amps. But when I looked and when I got it and I plugged it in, the Chromebook Plus said, no, you can't charge it with the screen on. I'll trickle charge it if you, like, turn me off. But I looked at the actual charger versus the specs, I think, and it said it was, like, 2.3 amp requirement. So it was just, you know, a little underpowered for what the Chromebook really wanted versus what I think was on a website or vice versa. But anyway, what I looked up originally turned out to be incorrect, even though it's published by Samsung. And, you know, anyway. So now I'm just waiting for some. I'm going to keep it, though. I mean, it's an Anker product. It's good. I'll just wait for the next USB-C device. Presumably, my next Android phone will plug using USB-C. So hopefully it's not
most likely
one amp draw.
Okay.
Anyway, that's about all I've got. As I was mentioning to John before we started the podcast, I'm not in my usual spot. I'm not in my home today. So I'm recording on battery. And I'm recording on a 2010 MacBook Air. With its, you know, it's sealed. It has its original battery. I've never taken it in to try to get it replaced. And it still works. But basically, it's been dropping about 1% a minute.
I have the same MacBook Air and the same issue. So I completely understand.
So actually, it's done pretty well. We've been actually recording for 34 minutes now. We started talking a few minutes early. So it's been running about 40-something minutes. And I got 57% battery. So you did good, MacBook Air. You're a good little MacBook Air. I'm still waiting for my daughter to give up her 2013 MacBook Air, but I have to buy her a 2017 MacBook something to replace it first, so I won't be able to inherit it quite yet. But soon, before she goes back to grad school. Okay, folks, that is the real Mobile Reviews Podcast 208 versus the one I called 208, was really 207 last week.
And in case you're wondering, he's Todd Ogasawara, and I'm the good friend John Westlook.
That's
right. I don't think we did introductions today, so
Yep.
You have to wait all the way to the end.
Yep. Well, you know, it's a teaser, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Who are these crazy people?
All righty. So I'm not John Westfall. He's not Todd Ogasawara. This is podcast number 208. Thanks for listening.